SJC2S, Part 2. Number 10A, B.
All right, so a point then that was just brought out, why our tape recording was off, is that we may have put down other tones than what is coming out in class when we do it on our own. And that's fine. Maybe we have a principal tone for where it may be a life tone when we were working in our own quietude. That's wonderful, as I said to us just now when the tapes were off, to dare to make mistakes. Go ahead and make mistakes. We want to. We want to learn. You see, this was that whole old sense of schooling. We always were afraid to make mistakes. We always had to have the right answers, didn't we? And therefore, we never really were comfortable with making a mistake, and therefore, because we didn't realize the method was more important than the answer, that asking right questions are much more important than the answer. So now, just go ahead and mark it all up. And as I said, if we have a textbook that perhaps we want to save for later on, then we can get these paperback textbooks from the reading room that aren't very much. I don't know what the dollars are now, but they certainly aren't too much, that we can just practice text interpretation on and feel free to just, as I said, color it however you ever wanted to color the text, but we're afraid to do, huh? Just get in there and have fun. We're discovering the scientists in us. Sure, we're going to be babes as we discover the scientists in us, but we got to begin somewhere. And so just color it all up. And we'll always refine it in class. So we color it now as the best to our tonality, but we see here that babes now have that tonality behind it of mind, because they now are the receptive thought. We hear it. And so it goes on and says, "Even so, Father, for so it seems good in thy sight. For aforetime, the Spirit of Christ," well, that's the Christ, the tone of the Christ, the color of the Christ, "which taketh away the ceremonies and doctrines of men." Well, you could say that's the old theology. That could also be colored in a broken line of life. Ceremonies and doctrine of men is just old churchy concepts. "Is not accepted." That's the opposite of mind. So we right there have life is mind. In Christ, look, we have the whole major tone behind this particular epitome. We have, "as aforetime, the Spirit of the Christ," that's that Christ tone, "which takes away the ceremonies and doctrines of men," which takes away that old theology, "that it is not accepted," that Spirit of the Christ. It's rejected. There's not a receptive thought. It's only made receptive when the hearts of men are made ready for it. So therefore, this Christ, which appears as that life spirit, is not accepted until the Christ, through its translation and retranslation, make men ready for it. You can just hear that whole subject there. Of the Christ as the Christ, bringing the spirit of life to the churches, but it's not accepted. But then it doesn't say it's not going to be accepted by those people, that the Christ in its retranslation is going to make them ready for it. Can you hear? See, the Spirit of Christ, that's God, comes to us and is going to take away old theology. But that Spirit of the Christ which comes to us is going to not be accepted, the opposite of mind, until the Christ, through its retranslation, makes the hearts of men receptive, having an open thought for it. That made ready for it could then just have the mind tone, be receptive for it. You hear that whole tone going on there. If I don't have it colored, don't be concerned. I just only would color the main accentuations. But if I bring it out in class and go ahead, we'll color it as we go. I didn't want the text that I have on the overhead projector just so full of colors you couldn't pick out some of the key points. But this whole text could be full of colors because it's a symphonic structure. And we hear it all going on here. It's terrific how that Christ Spirit now is coming to us. It's going to overturn old theology, which doesn't accept that life spirit until finally they will receive it through the retranslation. So the mission of Jesus confirmed prophecy and explained the so-called miracle of olden times as natural demonstrations of the divine power, demonstrations which were not understood. Jesus' works established his claim to the Messiahship. Well, here we have that whole sense now that Jesus' mission, Jesus' works confirmed prophecy and explained the so-called miracles of olden time as natural demonstrations of the divine power, demonstrations which were not understood. So we have that demonstrations of the principle which are coming to us by the Christ. So Jesus' life was the demonstrations of the Christ. He had that Christ mind. So where Jesus is, Jesus, we would say, had that Christ mind. It's showing that Jesus was a demonstration of that divine power. He was a demonstration of that Christ power. He had that mind of Christ. So you could color Jesus with your mind tone and also your Christ tone if you like. He had the mind of Christ. And Jesus' works, meaning his works in place of doctrines, they lived. Jesus' works, those living doctrines. That's that life sense showing. We'll see that Jesus' works were his living theology. That was his theology. Jesus' works. His works in place of his doctrines. So Jesus could have the mind tone. Works could have the life tone. Those are the living works of Jesus. Establish his claim to the Messiahship. Establish his claim to being that Christ consciousness. Establishing his claim to the Messiahship could be in that truth tone, huh? Jesus, who was an individual example of that life working as the mind of Christ, life is mind, established his claim to the Christship, to the saving Messiahship, the Christ. In reply to John's inquiry, art he that should come? Are you that Christ power which appears as that life power that should come? And now again we're going to have that tone of the Christ as life is mind. That Christ power that Jesus showed and let happen his life through that mind of Christ, that Jesus, having the mind of Christ, shows that he has a living theology through his works. So we see then that Jesus returned an affirmative reply, recounting his works. That Jesus, with the mind of Christ, mind tone, returned an affirmative reply, recounting his living works, life tone. And recounting his living works it was his life experience by letting the Christ happen in his life. Instead of referring to his doctrine, so instead of referring to his principle, he's going to return a affirmative apply by letting his living works show instead of his theory. Life, huh? Confident that this exhibition of divine power to heal, confident that these living works, instead of his theory, would fully answer the question. And all the rest here, I just have a squiggly line of life down the side showing, all the rest is showing how Jesus, with the mind of Christ, through his living works, shows that he had a living theology that heals. It wasn't a dead theology. So can we hear? Jesus, mind of Christ. So Jesus is marked in with the mind tone and his works in the life tone because they were his living life experience as opposed to his doctrine, his principle. And he let these living works now show now it's just going to talk about these living works, that with the mind of Christ, these are his living works, his living theology. His living theology heals, has the power to heal, which is going to show that theology heals. So now we just come up, it's a general explanation of that, just in an epitomized way. Go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whoso shall not be offended in me. Meaning, blessed is he who shall not be offended in me. Yeah. In other words, he gave his benediction to anyone who should not deny that such effects coming from that life power, that Christ power, which appears as a life power, coming from that life power of the divine mind, prove the unity of God, the divine principle, which brings out all harmony. So Jesus, with the mind of Christ, is showing that he had a living theology through his living works that heal. And Jesus, with the mind of Christ, proving he had a living theology through his living works, showed that that was all placed on the previous science that went before, on the principle that went before, that living theology based on the mind of Christ called Jesus is proving the principle which has just been established in the first four chapters. That's why we underline this in principle, Tom. Can we see? Are you following the reasoning pretty well? See, what we see then that we just are listening to tonality. And again, if I say that we can't, we just have to, as we go on in text interpretation, it become clearer and clearer. I'm going to come back and epitomize the text. Again, if one doesn't get it quite clearly, at one point we'll get it again. But are we beginning to see why Jesus is used here with his works to show the life is mind tone? This is somebody, Dave, do you want to maybe explain it to others? That sometimes helps, how you see it.
Jesus went around with the mind of Christ.
Yep.
And that's sort of tricky, talking in a circle.
That's all right, go ahead.
So it's the mind of Christ that's doing all these works.
Yes.
So that's why we put it in a mind tone.
Yeah, right, right. That's why Jesus is in a mind tone, because he had that mind of Christ, didn't he? So it's showing that Jesus had the mind of Christ, and then the works are?
Why the works? You're asking why works is life?
Yeah, why we put it as a life tone.
Well, that's what he did. That made it living.
That made it living, didn't it? That's his living theology. That was Jesus' works were, it's building up to saying that Jesus' works was were his living theology. That living theology instead of doctrines, instead of principles, that these works are his living theology that heal, huh? So we see, and Jesus with living theology. Yeah, let's just say that living theology, the works of Jesus, which are based on the mind of Christ, huh?
Yeah, I mean, Mrs. Eddy often uses the phrase, as I recall, dead works.
Dead works.
It's not dead works.
Yeah, this is living works. That's right. That's right. So she's beginning, so it's beginning to show that these are living works, huh?
Yeah.
That they're life, they live. And we'll later on see that that's his theology. Those living works are his theology, you see, that heal. But that living works are based only, as you said, Dave, on the mind of Christ that Jesus had. So Jesus, the mind of Christ, and his living works, life. Now right here it says that coming from that divine mind, so Jesus' living works prove the unity of God, the divine principle which brings out all harmony. So that life which is mind, which Jesus exemplified, is proving what? The principle that we just discussed last year, together, and what Mrs. Eddy said, and I've just given you, that Jesus' life works are based on that principle of the first four subjects of mind, spirit, soul, principle. So therefore, you see the flow from principle to life to mind. That the mind of Christ brings forth a living theology which proves the divine principle that we've just seen. Can we begin to hear that? Okay, good. That's wonderful. If you have questions, you ask me. We're here for a workshop, and as I said, I'm not here to lecture, but I wanted to set up the method of a workshop to begin with, and certainly bring out points that you would like to bring out, because I want to help. And I started right away saying that I didn't come with a lecture. I want to be able to help us hear these tonalities in a general way, not being concerned about the specifics, because as Max always shows in method, we just take the approximation. If you hear it at all, go for that. And then if I talk some more and it is not so clear any longer, forget that. Just keep the seed within oneself. Just build on what we heard. And then keep that. And if the other isn't quite clear, just let that go by us. And we're going to build on the little that we get. And then we can shut out all the rest that we don't get. And then we're going to keep building and building on the little that is clear. And what is unclear, we let go. That's just the method of a scientist. Max shows in those rules in ascertaining what the ideas of the synonymous terms are in the textbook. Remember, he said that we only stick to that which is very clear. And don't care so much about what is not clear. And therefore, he says that by mothering that which is clear, it just has a seed within itself, and that grows, and we're not concerned. We're concerned with what we know, not with what we don't know. So therefore, and he says, always the first flow through something is an approximation. They went years and years over those ideas in the textbook in order to ascertain just what the right ideas are under mind and under spirit and under soul. That wasn't a work that just came in a day. Just as Mrs. Eddy polished the textbook many, many times, so they polished the compendiums and those ideas in the compendiums over years. Maybe, you know, that was the work they were doing in the 40s. They only really were working with the synonymous terms year after year after year after year, just really defining what the ideas are for mind in the textbook. It isn't as easy, we see, with those rules as it first seems, until finally, about 10 years later, Max said he wrote the compendiums, and he could write one compendium in a week. It came very quickly, but after years and years of polishing, then suddenly we get it. So we're just now at the polishing sense, and therefore he says, go for the approximation, go for that which is clear, don't worry about what is not clear. So let's just love when we see something, just hang on to it, and we'll just go on. So the Pharisees of old, what's that? A tone of, huh? Old theology. And that's given a broken line of life, okay? The Pharisees of old thrust. Well, that's taking in a false sense of power. What is it the opposite of? Okay. Probably the Christ, because it's a Christ that does the thrusting, huh? So the Pharisees of old theology, thrust, they were playing the Christ. They thrust the spiritual idea, a tone of mind. So the Pharisees of old thrust the spiritual idea. That idea is always of mind, as Laura said. And the man who lived it, Jesus, huh? So there you could actually say the man who lived it has two tones. He had the life as mind. He had that mind which is Christ, which lives. So the man who lived it is Jesus, who we already see has that tone of life as mind, had the mind of Christ who proved himself through his works. Again, if I only have one tone there, don't be concerned, just there are many tones. So old theology took on the office of the Christ and thrust the spiritual idea, and the man who lived it, who represented that life which was mine, out of the synagogues, old theology, and retained their materialistic beliefs, opposite of life, about God. Jesus' system of healing received no aid nor approval. That would be that opposite there of the life which is mine. It gave no support. He received no support because it was the unreceptive thought. It could have two colors. The opposite of life, because there was no support behind it. Life supports, life sustains. So Jesus' system of healing received no support, no sustaining from the unreceptive thought. So it could have two colors there, the opposite of life, the opposite of mind. From other sanitary or religious systems, old theology. So Jesus' system of healing received no aid or support from other sanitary or religious systems. This is all that which goes against the life of mind. This is now everything that doesn't have any life as mind tone. Jesus' system of healing received no aid nor approval from other sanitary or religious systems, from doctrines of physics or of divinity, and it has not yet been generally accepted. See, which he just said doesn't give any substance to Jesus' system of healing because it doesn't have a receptive thought. Today, as of yore, unconscious of the reappearing of the spiritual idea, whenever we have a sense of reappearing, it's often soul brings it back, but here it's that sense of life, that it comes anew. So we have today, as of yore, unconscious of the coming of the spiritual idea, life is mind. The unreceptive thought, blind belief, the opposite of mind, shuts the door upon it and condemns the cure of the sick and the sinning if it is wrought on any but a material and doctrinal old theology, dead theology. Anticipating this rejection of idealism, anticipating this lack of support of idealism, this lack of support through the unreceptive thought, rejection, the opposite of life, it doesn't sustain it because it's unreceptive thought. So anticipating this rejection of not having the support by the unreceptive thought, the rejection of idealism, the rejection of the true idea of God, there we have mind, anticipating this rejection of idealism, mind, meaning of the true idea of God, that mind tone. This salvation from all error, physical and mental. See where she's starting in with always going to bring in the first degree and the second degree. Physical, mental, she'll do it through the whole chapters. Anticipating this rejection of idealism, of the true idea of God, this salvation from all error, physical and mental, Jesus asked, when the Son of Man cometh, that's that life tone, when that Spirit of life cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Shall he find support by the receptive thought, life is mind? Did the doctrines of John the Baptist confer healing power upon him or endow him with the true conception of the Christ? She wonders. Did the doctrines, now do we say that that's true theology that lives for John? That's what we have to find out. Did the doctrines of John the Baptist confer healing power upon him or endow him with the truest conception mind of the Christ? Now she says, what about John the Baptist? She says, this righteous preacher once pointed his disciples to Jesus as the Lamb of God. But then she says, yet afterwards he seriously questions the sign of the messianic appearing and sent the inquiry to Jesus. art thou he that should come? So it's as if saying this righteous preacher could even have the colors of the opposite of life and the opposite of mind, because he, in the end, really didn't support that Jesus was the Messiah, that he didn't support it fully. He didn't have that life support and the receptive thought totally. That's why John was beheaded. John only saw the intellectual side, the word of it, but he didn't go on to the Christ of it. That was of Jesus, to wed the letter with the spirit. So John the Baptist here is not in a positive sense. It's that he didn't have enough of the Christ spirit to support, and so therefore it was a lack of support with an unreceptive thought, because he questioned, art thou he that should come? Meaning he questioned if Jesus, who had the mind of Christ, was that which that life power was going to bring. Art thou he? Are you really that mind of Christ, that saving mind that should come, that is brought to us by the Christ idea, by the messianic appearing? Are you really the Messiah, the Savior? So you see there's an overall tone. Are you really the Savior? Are you really the Christ? Do we undercolor that in our Christ color? Are you really that which represents the mind of Christ, he? Do you have that mind of Christ that should come, that life power is going to bring?